Chapter 20. Imagine taking your first space flight ever, and then being immediately paraded into a large television studio in front of an audience of several thousand, assaulted by giant bright lights, all while wearing a stifling spacesuit partially covered in other people's regurgitated food. If you can imagine that, welcome to the show. I'm exhausted, alternately sweating, shivering, and nauseous, and Zach Larson greets us as if we've just taken a leisurely tour of an air-conditioned mall. Here they are, ladies and gentlemen, the 26 contestants of You're Going to Mars. We march on stage in single file, smiling weakly and waving, to the theme song and the cheers of the crowd, who just watched our little low-orbit farce on massive projection screens in the theater. The contestant right in front of me, Baker, passes out and has to be dragged backstage. Then another contestant, and another. By the time we take our seats around the mammoth circular table in the middle, with the huge Ace Space Mission seal in the middle, a red scarab surrounded by stars, four contestants are gone, and a couple look like they're not far behind. Wonderful! Wonderful! Larson sashays back and forth in front of us, applauding. Our remaining contestants, congratulations on completing stage one. Well, he smiles coyly, looking directly into the camera. Almost. A woman two seats to my left raises her hand, limp, and whispers timidly into the microphone in front of her. Almost? Yes, my dear Addison. You see, the theme for stage one is endurance. For the next 21 days, every day, to acclimate your body to the rigors of space travel, you'll be going on just a few more low-orbit flights.
Just a few?
30. Addison begins to cry. I think she might be relieving herself in her spacesuit, too. Addison, dear, if you... any of you, actually, would like to leave the program at this point. I completely understand. Please, raise your hand. Addison, who already has her hand raised, points to it aggressively with her other hand, without losing a beat in her sobbing. The man next to her, Chris, raises his hand too, and doesn't even wait for a chaperone as he bolts off the stage, holding his hands in front of his mouth, his cheeks full of whatever was just in his belly a few moments ago. Larson walks over to Addison and gathers her up in his arms. There, there, Addison. Mars isn't for everyone, but here's a silver lining. You'll be going home with a lifetime subscription to Groupie Plus, 10,000 credits, and you will be honored forever in the Wall of Heroes. He thrusts his hand out, gesturing to the area behind our table. It instantly becomes opaque and glows bright, and lists the names of the six contestants, complete with their NASA-looking spacesuit photos, who are now heroes. It's absurd. Anyone can tell, and Zach Larson knows it, calling first-round defeated reality show contestants heroes. The whole thing is ridiculous, but he loves every second of it. It's his heartfelt homage to every lame, nonsensical show like it that has ever existed. And the feeling is contagious. I find myself rising from my seat and clapping wildly for Addison and Chris and the four other fallen heroes. And I'm joined by my fellow, I don't know what to call them now, not yet heroes? Addison, dear, do you like it? Between sobs, Addison squeaks out, "Are you kidding me? No!" Larson hands Addison off to his chaperone and applauds her as she disappears off stage. Very well. On to the rules. Simple. You will live in this state-of-the-art facility for the next 12 weeks with zero contact with the outside world. I repeat, zero contact. Your phones and such have already been collected. Last man or woman standing at the end of those 12 weeks wins a spot on the crew for the first manned mission to Mars in history. A 7-month fully privately funded mission to explore, test a bit of mining and farming and terraforming and who knows. Now, 5 teams of He counts the remaining contestants with his fingers. 4 will compete, accumulating points every day for reaching milestones. After each of 3 3-week stages, the team with the fewest points will leave the competition in a 2-hour live television special. Goodbye. In addition, groupie subscribers around the globe will like or dislike you on a live feed 24 hours a day. And at the end of each stage, the contestant with the fewest likes, in addition to the lowest scoring team, goes home. At stage 4, we'll disband the 2 surviving teams and the remaining contestants will compete individually. Then, ultimately, the single contestant with the most points will join us on our historic voyage. The stage dims, and he marches to the middle front, into a single spotlight, and extends his arms. As he does, more spotlights appear on either side. Now, folks, who would like to meet the team leaders, the crew of High Heaven? The audience goes wild, cheering for the 5 godlike creatures who emerge from backstage. My clapping slows, then stops, as each of them in turn passes us and glares, a mixture of disdain and pity that makes my heart sink. The first is Red Team Leader. He'll be leading my team, according to a red spot glowing on the table in front of me. He takes a moment to scowl specifically at me, then shakes his head, then forces a smile and salutes as he turns to the audience. Captain Daniels, Marine Lieutenant, 15 years, Purple Heart, NASA test pilot, a space astronaut, Red Team Leader, and Mission Commander. 4 more gods follow in succession, all ace space veterans, each as impressive as Captain Daniels. Reagan Malone, prior NASA space station engineer, green team leader. Dylan Garcia, AI developer, yellow team leader. Drew Ines, PhD in physics and rocketry, orange team leader. And Skylar Gaines, USAF fighter pilot with an MD and PhD in biology, blue team leader. They bow in unison and exit the stage, once again scowling at us. I imagine going off to their dungeon lair to perfect the tortures they'll be subjecting us to over the next 12 weeks. Any remaining beliefs that this show will mimic a civilized, high-tech astronaut training program are gone. This is going to be boot camp. Now, contestants, have a good night. You deserve the rest, and you'll need it. Trust me. Fun, fun, fun. We rise to follow the chaperones offstage, beyond exhausted, asleep on our feet. And I have the strong sense that the audience and people around the world are now making their bets, picking their winner, and mentally discarding the losers. Larson seems to have the same thought, because as we pass him, he issues this dramatic challenge. And finally, something to ponder in your dreams tonight, contestants. Which one of you, and it will be just one, has what it takes? Which one of you, like the mythical scarab beetle of millennia past, will be reborn and usher in a rebirth for all mankind? Then he lowers his voice, as if sharing a confidence. And which one of you will bring back the secrets that Mars has yet to reveal? The secrets that Mars has yet to reveal. I repeat his last thought over and over again. There's something about the way he said it. And as I'm led zombie-like toward my room, a question pops into my mind that sticks around like an itch that can't quite be scratched. What does Zach Larson know?